This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks. To my right is... go ahead.
Her name's Karen Kilgariff.
I don't know why I've never introduced you. That was weird.
I know. It's
that was kind of controlling.
It was super controlling, but it also made me feel safe.
When would Karen ever give someone else the chance to introduce
I know. Her? I'm all elbows out in front. I'm all sharp elbows.
Honestly.
Like Margaret Thatcher.
It was because you were being controlling with the air conditioning right off the bat.
You mean asking to have it turned on? Fuck you! that very distinct laugh you heard in the back seat was our guest, Mr. Guy Branum.
Good to be here, Karen.
I say Branum, but it's really Branum.
It's Branum.
It's totally Branum.
You introduced me on my album with Branum.
I know, and I'm sorry.
I didn't think after knowing you for 3 years or so it would be necessary, but also I'm good with it.
Do you have to have like some kind of a sound doctor go in there and tinker around?
I don't care.
I'll go in for ADR, isn't that what it's called? And say Branum. Branum.
I alternate between Branum, Branum, and Branum.
It's good to know that I'm coming up that much in your life, Chris Fairbanks.
Oh, yeah, I'm always saying your goddamn name.
Constantly.
I am.
Guy Branum did this, and Guy Branum did that.
At the beginning of these, I'm always for lots of words, because I'm looking down at these little things to make sure they're not peaking.
How are we doing?
Oh, we're doing okay. I'm going to turn mine up a little.
And can you hear my gum? I should probably take it out.
No, it's everything's fine. It's just when Guy laughs, the actual mechanism shuts down. No, please don't do your laugh. I love your laugh. No, that's the only solace I have during shows that are horrible. If you're in the room, you're letting me know everything's okay.
But right. anytime people like make note of it from the stage, I become very self-conscious that I'm that girl in 10th grade who has an interesting laugh so that people will talk about her and notice her.
Oh, you mean Karen Kilgariff?
So I will like stop afterwards and it's terrible.
I used to do, long ago, I did a joke where I said all comedians have their distinctive laugh to let comedians on stage know they approve of their material, and mine is I just shout my name. That's how you know I like it.
Oh, like comics that laugh on stage at their own material?
No, comics in the back, like, you know, like guys, or when you hear Andy Kindler, it sounds like a machine gun in the back, but a machine gun that loves your stand-up.
Yeah,
it's that thing.
Not the kind that puts little metal holes in your heart?
No, the opposite almost.
Yeah,
right?
It fills your heart.
Yeah.
With laugh plugs.
And metal.
And also still metal. It's still a gun.
Guy, we picked you up from work.
Yes.
You are working up. Can you talk about where you're working?
Yes. I'm working on a Comedy Central program that is currently called Another Period and may not be called Another Period.
Did they do that? That's Natasha Leggero and Ricky Lindholm's new show.
Yes.
Did they do that, do you think, to do a play on words about menstruation?
They did, and I think that Comedy Central may be worried that that is too much of an off-putting lady subject for their core audience to be able to enjoy.
Chris, what's your vote?
I always love the mention of a period when also He said the word pudding. I'm sorry. I'm still looking at the levels here. No, I can't figure out what I did. There's always some technical thing, and it throws me for a loop.
You are as meticulous about our sound as Jeff Lynne from ELO, I would say.
Oh, Karen, did you... Okay, A, ELO is what I listened to the entire time I was studying for the bar, and it means so much to me.
Do you, mama?
It's so good.
Strange magic. Oh, what's wrong?
Evil woman.
Got a strange magic.
You can't do the same song twice.
Oh, hello. How are
yes.
you?
There it is. Take that one.
Has it been all right? Mm-hmm.
But the other thing was... Earlier, you said that you were all elbows like Margaret Thatcher.
Yes.
Today, I was listening to my songs of people in the 80s criticizing Margaret Thatcher playlist.
There is a list?
Yes.
Is it, like, can I guess?
Yes.
So, it's got to be The Clash. The first 12 songs of The Clash?
Look, it's not exhaustive. There are, like, 7 songs on it.
Bananarama?
No. Mm. I have, like, there's a Morrissey song. Mm. There's these people called the English Beat.
Yeah. Don't tell me about the English Beat.
There's Elton John.
Oh, what'd he say? Goodbye, English Rose.
No, it's a song from the Billy Elliot musical.
For real?
Yes.
Wait, from the Billy Elliot musical, not the movie?
No, from the musical.
Oh, that's terrific.
It's called Merry Christmas, Maggie Thatcher.
And it's basically fuck you?
Yes.
Because we're all starving to death?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're all just songs about how they hope she dies.
Yeah.
And she did, so they won.
Yeah, well, she was
rough
stuff.
The power of music.
The power of a child ballerina.
That's, I don't know, which is... too small. His tank top or his skateboard?
Oh, yeah. We're
razzing a kid crossing the street.
Ripping on pedestrians.
That's right.
That's what this podcast hopefully will devolve into eventually.
I hope we get in a fight with another cyclist.
Yes.
With a U-lock on the ready to whack off one of your side mirrors. Mine? Oh, shit. We're in my car.
Wait, look at that billboard of Larry Flint. Like, he was some kind of... It looks like the Little Lebowski's Junior Achievers... Look at that.
I was once at a hotel and he pulled up in a regular limo, but that chair was pulled out by his helper person.
Uh-huh.
And I said, wow, that's a really nice chair. And he goes, thank you.
Oh.
24 karat gold.
Oh.
That's a really good impression.
Yeah, you notice how I didn't tart it up too much? That's because I remember exactly what his voice sounded like.
And you are a natural mimic.
And he was he was very sweet. He talked about that chair for a while.
Oh.
So I'd be like, enough about the chair, stranger. And then I realized it's Larry Flint.
Karen, you have a very musical ear, but a complete inability to commit to anything that's remotely an abstraction. How are you with impressions?
It's so true. And not even that, just commit in general. It's a serious fucking problem of mine. I'd say it's called avoidance personality. Disorder, I believe, is what the professionals have told me.
But do you have any impressions that you can go to?
Well, of course, Bjork really built me. And that's exactly what it sounds like. I do that.
That's my Bjork.
That's your Bjork. You could also tell people that's your Dove impression if you wanted to. But I like impressions. You know what it is? I don't like impressions like Rich Little, where he's got to do Sammy Davis with one eye closed.
Yeah.
I just like when people...
Those are impersonations.
Okay. Yeah, I thought impersonations were when you stole someone's wallet and lived their life.
No, that's imitations.
Okay.
Sorry. No, that's identity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We got to get this cleared up. But like, for example, Chris Fairbanks does such a dead-on Howard Kramer that I can't believe it.
Really?
And go.
I'm doing that. Okay, here we go. You gotta come to Summerfest because we're gonna have the special gum, and you're gonna swim away from sharks. And I'm gonna drop some beefy ass rap lines.
I don't think he'd say beefy ass.
I put you on the spot.
I put you on the spot. I'm sorry.
That's really impressive.
When you're not the amazing Rich Little.
Well, and also, I just realized as I watched you do that, a big part of that impression really is visual. Because you do, you turn your head, you look exactly like his physical.
I have to do that, otherwise I can't pull it off. That's maybe what Rich Little, he has to squish up one eye.
Let's hear some of your impressions, Guy.
I don't do any impressions.
Come on.
Because I share with my kindred spirit, Karen Kilgariff, that selfsame fear of, no, I mean, it's like, you kind of take on your sister's mannerisms when you talk like her. And
yes.
I will do that sometimes.
You guys have met each other's sisters?
Well, no, I've never met Karen's sister. I just know that there's this thing she does.
Let's see it.
Like, it's more just the way your face is and this sort of, like, shaking of your head and a little bit of condescension.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. That's not a date. I mean, there was somebody else there. That's not a date.
That's the thing I love talking to my sister about, especially guys, because it's as if she sees the world. It's so black and white. All I do in my mind is entertain every possibility of a situation.
Yeah.
And my sister, later, I'll call her and just be like, hey, so blah, 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 you know, whatever. And then she'll be like, no, and never talk to that person again. And also, she has all the answers. It's crazy. And she sounds like that.
I like people who are bringing that level of clarity to the table, because even if you don't agree with them, you can just at least be like, I understand exactly where you're coming from. You've given me clear analysis about this.
Yes. Well, any person who has a very strong stance, it's so much easier to follow their stance than to make up your own.
Right.
Right.
Who wants to dig around inside yourself and figure out what you truly believe? Way easier to be like, I'll follow the loud, insistent person.
I'm sorry, I got all...
Are you still in the sound box?
Yeah, it's because the battery died in my mic, and so I'm not mic'd.
I'm really...
Well, how do we fix it?
Well, there's...
Ambient sound?
We just keep doing it the way it is, because the contrast would be abrupt.
Okay.
I just turned that up a little.
Oh, good. Okay.
I'm really excited that we are getting in during that period of time that California has not yet made podcasting while driving illegal.
That's right.
It is it's a small window.
Like, years from now, we're all going to be talking to our grandchildren that we purchased, we didn't even purchase children.
Right.
We just got grandchildren.
Yes.
But we'll be telling them about how we used to podcast and drive at the same time. Like, people used to tell stories about drinking a six-pack on, you know, while driving around.
That's right.
You can still do that where I'm from.
Oh, seriously?
In Montana?
As long as you're not the one driving, you can just have all the beers you want.
That's amazing.
I think so. I don't know that I would confidently just put it to the test.
Why don't you Google it before you do it?
I'll Google it live.
But while we're driving. That's illegal now.
That is illegal, yes.
I'm going there tomorrow. My friend is having a bachelor party, but it's just us going to the woods and camping. But we aren't bringing food, so we have to... I'm not going to kill anything, but my friends, I think, will.
What, are you going to eat deer?
Fish, I think. I'll fish.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Fishing, you can do that. And then cook it and eat it.
Good. Yeah, definitely cook it.
We'll bring canned goods. Processed.
Have some cling peaches.
Yes.
Cling peaches.
Gotta have those. A little cottage cheese.
Has feminism ruined bachelor parties? I believe yes. They are now pointless.
Yeah. It's true.
I think traditionally you're supposed to have a last fling with a dancing girl.
Sure.
A woman
probably
of the
loves
night.
You deeply.
Yeah, well, yeah. Depends on, that's your part.
Right.
Ah, that was a big old dick joke. but then I think we're just going to hang out with the boys and go up in the woods. That'll be fun. But on the way there, what I'm saying is we'll drink in the car and see if we get pulled over.
Chris, the tone of your voice tells me that there's definitely going to be a stripper busting out of a duck blind at some point. Don't even lie.
I am from Missoula, Montana.
Yes.
There are no women that aren't currently wearing flannel. Oh, that's not very nice. Because they don't listen to podcasts either.
They don't.
No.
Is there duck hunting in Montana?
I'm sure there is. I'm sure there is. Of course there is. Yes.
What do you mean, of course there is?
I just am so far removed from that world. I never have killed an animal, and I don't have anyone in my friend circle.
Okay.
And that's a Google.
Or family.
My Google circle of friends who kills ducks. I do have friends that have stayed there long enough to where they just kind of accepted this Montana heritage and they have killed deer.
My Uncle Ronnie, okay, A, where I come from is a very duck hunting place, but B, my Uncle Ronnie used to go deer and moose and elk or whatever hunting in Montana, and he talked about it like it was paradise.
It is beautiful there.
Everyone says that.
And it is amazing and majestic when you're in the woods, like we will be kind of far. We're going to drive to a certain point and then from there hike, I believe. So
what kind of
we
trees?
We won't see any people, and there will be a moose, possibly. Mostly evergreen. I would say ponderosa pine.
Mm.
Highly occurrent.
Do you guys plan on reenacting any scenes from Northern Exposure?
Only Civil War.
Oh, okay.
Scenes. We are Civil War actors.
Did the Civil War rage up into Montana?
Yeah.
There are some passionate Yankees up there. I've never seen that show, so I have to back out.
It's okay.
I've never seen that.
Are you backing out with your hands in prayer position?
That was a lot like the town I lived in. So it's like, why would I watch a TV show about what's going on outside my window?
Since we have ended this improv, do you want me to get out and run in front of the two of you like they do when they're editing a scene in improv?
What? What do you mean?
He's talking about a swipe. A stage swipe.
Like...
even though when he said running in front of the car, I just thought of that Radiohead video. Karma Police.
I don't think I've seen it.
I sound great right now, by the way. The battery just kicked in.
So no, we're driving past the place that's the show that I was supposed to go to and probably won't go to.
I thought
so. Yeah.
Look at... We need to drive back around so that we can drive past and I can just see all of the gay guys who are showing up to John's show who would never remotely come to one of mine, so I can be jealous, even though I love John a great deal.
He's great.
But I'm still jealous because he's young and beautiful.
Well, you're on the fence. You're not tapping in. You wouldn't say you're a gay comic. You don't do the cruises.
I would say that I'm a gay comedian, what with the telling jokes and putting dicks in my mouth.
No, but simultaneously you have to do them to become a...
On stage.
A gay colon comic.
Well, John is not a gay colon comic in
Who's
that way.
John?
I think
it's his show that...
Oh, okay. I don't know, John.
Guys,
he's a New York comic.
I was going to make a punctuation pun, you guys.
Go for it.
Karen, he said gay colon comic.
Yes.
What do you think the joke I was going to make
was? Butthole joke.
The
prostate,
word.
Get in there.
And I wasn't talking about the punctuation. I was talking about the word colon.
Yeah. Okay. Your gay colon. It's your new one-man show.
Well, do you want to go by the Virgil and be jealous of the line?
Yes, I want to go by the Virgil and be jealous of the line.
Let's heckle them.
Let's do it. You know what? This is great. Mirror work. Let's really look into what drives us and what holds us back. Are these feelings healthy? Are they the gas that get us somewhere? Or actually, are they the sandbags that pull us down under the waters of regret?
One of the things I was meaning to ask you about when we were just standing at the strip mall that we were standing at while we were waiting.
Gower Gulch.
We were standing down in the corner away from the myriad homeless that stand and sit out front of that Starbucks.
But they're polite, and they pull out seats for people when they sit down.
True.
Yeah, they're good.
Ooh, the thing is, like, there are only, like, 15 gay comics, so I am able to just be like, guy, you have, like, the good ones you have to like and respect, because however much you may be jealous of them for being prettier than you are, like, it's just not healthy and you just have to accept it. But, like, women are half of humanity.
That's right.
And, like, 12% of comedy.
That's right.
So, like, there have to be some times that you're like, oh, God.
But, guy...
Why is this woman busy being a... why is she being a woman in front of these people and implying that that's what female comics are?
You are already beloved by mainstream audiences. Why would you be jealous of a fraction of an audience?
Because jealousy is fun. I'm not seeing anyone particularly noteworthy.
Oh, you guys are really excited for the show, huh?
This is a good fucking show.
Excited for the show, aren't you?
John does a hell of a show.
With your high and tight haircuts. Oh, we put on our button-ups tonight, didn't we?
You guys, we're really seeing what summer fashion of tomorrow is. We're seeing a lot of bold colors, a lot of very, very large shirts on very thin boys.
Yeah.
And
Finn is in this.
It's in, here. Girl. You know what? It was out for so long. When? Never. But it is in. I'm so sick of top knots.
Top knots?
They're the tall, weird buns that girls wear on the top of their head.
And some boys.
Father John Misty, to be specific. Just a really bad hair look that, for some reason, fills me with anxiety.
Yeah,
I hate it.
I don't want to see any top buns.
Top knots.
Oh, but Karen, let me finish my statement in saying...
Yes.
I have just resolved to Miss Brody... all of the good little gay comedian boys as hard as I can.
You don't have to miss the show. We can take you there.
He's making a reference. He's Miss Jean Brody. He's saying he wants to take them under his wing and teach them.
But in an aggressive way that makes them go and fight in the Spanish Civil War and eventually die.
So you will have your revenge.
I don't look on it as revenge. I just think all my girls are the creme de la creme. Basically, it just comes down to, if I cannot be the crossover gay comedian that the must happen eventually, I just want it to be one of the ones that I pick and not one of the ones that I don't like.
That's right. I understand this very well. Comedy really is hard in all of these ways. It's hard for you personally, and then there's all these ancillary situations that are difficult. That's a great one, where it's like, it feels like when I look at that group of like a big long line of super hipsters standing outside the Virgil, I just think, I would never draw that crowd.
Yeah.
I immediately go, I can't have that.
And I'm obsessing right now because I don't know the name of the person that is I feel out of touch because I've never heard the name that you've said.
The Prime of Miss Jean Brody is a movie from probably 1969?
1969, yeah.
Or the comic.
Really?
Yes.
They're watching that movie? That's what they're in line?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. the comic that's performing there, I'm jealous of. It's a new thing.
You used to know every single person, anyone mentioned?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't, yeah.
But John Early is not, he's relatively new.
He's relatively new, and he's sort of 1 foot in, like, gay performance-y New York world and 1 foot in stand-up and, like, pursues both of them. Like, frequently you'll have these people who call themselves comedians, and we would be like, no, I don't think so. who are like, I do comedy, I do jokes in between my songs! But they aren't funny songs.
Hey, wait a second! Fuck you!
But John is not that. John is a really, really funny, like, you know Caper Lant, right?
Yes.
He's, like, really good friends with Caper Lant. They have similar styles.
Yes.
But he just opens it up
in
a way.
I already think he's funny, then.
But I really...
Yeah, he's really, really smart.
Respect and appreciate.
Yeah, she's great. They complement each other very well. I saw him at we did a show, that Cindy Crawford show that Billy Scafuri does. I didn't pronounce that correctly. That was super fun, and he was just so engaging. Like, you just wanted him to talk the whole time.
Yes.
He's just great to watch. It doesn't hurt that he is magazine model beautiful.
Here's the thing.
Why didn't you guys just say that at the beginning?
Here's the thing that's hard about it.
I think Guy said it 19 times.
I did.
Okay.
Is the other thing that's difficult is if I go to that show, I know I will see my agent, and I never see my agent at my own shows.
Yeah.
And it's that... And I've made this podcast way too much about professional jealousy and anger.
That's what it's all about, though, if it's not...
Professional jealousy.
I am professionally jealous.
We don't dick around anymore when worried about what other people have.
But
we get professional.
I just thought of this because I think that, too, where I always go, oh, I've never heard of that person. I think there's literally 10 times more comics now than there were when I was, like, really in it and doing it all the time.
Yeah.
So many more.
Yeah, there's many more.
I also laugh so hard when people are like, so-and-so has an album. And back in my old-timey days, like, literally no one had albums unless they were, like, you know,
Thank you for bringing this up a week after I recorded an album, Karen. I get what you're saying.
I just feel like you wasted your time. your album recording was wonderful, by the way.
I wish I had my own show that I had to go to, and I didn't get to watch the full recording, but I have only heard good things, and I wonder, have you heard an edit of it?
I heard the raw audio, and it seems all right, but it's very hard. I'm not... Are you guys responsible about recording yourselves and listening to yourself?
No.
No.
I record myself. I then do not listen to
right.
it. I have 40 shows that I haven't listened to.
I sound like I just can't stand listening to myself.
Yeah, it's no, that's worst. Everyone. That's everyone forever. We all are nasally Muppets.
It's so true.
Yeah.
Well, and can I just say, not to say my pain is worse than yours, but it is, because when I recorded my album, I was like, after that show, because I do singing, and so I was like, that show went so well, I can't wait to listen to this. Yeah. And when I first put like the needle on the record, it was horrifying.
No,
I sounded
no.
like a frightened child.
You sounded
child.
Great during that. You do good singing.
I do.
You do good singing.
But I'm just saying, it's my own, I understand that it's my own neuroses,
yeah.
But it's so painful.
You have a beautiful voice, and there,
no,
there
I,
is
have
a little bit
that.
Of vulnerability in your voice of the first song. And it's so lovely.
A little bit.
You, yeah, just those moments where your voice cracks and stuff. It's just there's this vulnerability there.
You know,
like when you try and hit
totally
a note.
Off key.
Yeah, where just it's like, oh, she's so vulnerable. But then the low stuff. Oh man.
Oh my God.
So kidding.
Thank you for turning that into an insult.
I'm so kidding.
I also really like the Cut the Cricket. I really enjoy the Cut
that,
the Cricket.
That honestly felt like a miracle to me. When that first happened, it was like right at the
beginning.
There
was a real cricket in there?
There's a real cricket, and
oh,
I got to do
I
a
love
joke
when that happens.
Right off the bat, and it, I think it just made me go, okay, I can do this.
Did you say, what the Jiminy is that noise?
Yep.
Oh.
I stole your joke.
Oh, man. I'm going to get gas.
Should
right
we
there.
Wait for you?
No, the cord will stretch. I'm getting out of the car. You guys talk to yourselves.
Okay, we will.
Chip Pope, the night of my album recording after I got home, saw that I was on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
His question to me was that fucking cricket chirping the whole time?
Oh, that's
because
funny.
Because at Nerdmelt, there is always that fucking cricket.
Really?
That's right. That when Morgan Murphy recorded her album, me and Dave Anthony were sitting on the in the very back. And that cricket started above our heads, and we started laughing but had to be quiet because she was explaining something. It wasn't a funny part.
Yeah.
And then we stood up and were tapping the wall really quietly trying to get rid of the cricket. But, you know, apparently it did not read, and it wasn't a big deal, but...
I guess I do have to get out of the car. I'm going to get some gas. I'll be right back,
okay.
You guys.
Okay.
Why'd I have to sound so depressed?
Nobody wants to be left out.
I'm gonna.
You want me to take that?
Watch this.
Uh-oh. He's gonna pump gas and.
I can't hear you guys, but I'm gonna be out here just getting gas.
Yeah.
I thought his microphone wasn't working.
Yeah, he said it wasn't.
Totally getting gas.
I thought your microphone wasn't working.
Oh, it is now.
Interesting. It's just whatever he wants it to be.
The little battery was askew inside there. That's happened
okay.
a couple times.
How expensive is a lav?
It's all kind of expensive.
Okay.
Like, well, I bought the microphone pack altogether.
Uh-huh.
And Chris bought the actual Zoom. I don't know. It was like...
Does Amazon just have, like, a little package together?
Yeah. They sell them all together. Like, if you want microphones for this thing, you get two of these and a lav.
Oh, that's cool.
I know. It's a good setup. So what do we talk about when the boy is gone?
Oh, I totally, I had not spent that much time with Chris Fairbanks, and then we had to share a cabin in a cruise ship together.
That's right.
And then I woke up one morning, because, like, he always came back later than I did, and we woke up in the morning.
How's it going in here, you guys?
Hey, things are going great.
Oh, good.
Real good.
I'm just out here getting some petrol. I'll be yep. right back.
Anyway, in the morning, he was just wearing underwear, and I was like, oh, that's better than I thought it would be.
Yo, yeah. Well, Chris is an athlete
yes.
and a skateboarder, and then he's got old-fashioned hair.
Yeah.
It all comes together.
He really does.
What? Nothing.
You guys talking about me?
No.
I have old-timey hair.
You do.
Hey, guy, we got to live on a boat together.
That's what we're talking about.
We're talking about that.
Yeah,
it was
fun.
Very fun. I did not think I was going to have to share a cabin. They told us you can, like, bring someone. And so I was like, I won't bring anyone, and then I'll just have a room to myself. And they were like,
that's what I think.
You're But also, like, clearly, I think fewer people came than they were intending.
Right.
And so they were trying to streamline things, which I respect.
That makes sense.
It was super fun and great, and I had a good time. But the minute you got on the boat, they were just trying to upsell you. Because you were supposed to go.
I know.
Yes. I was telling...
I already got the guilt trip on the last episode.
I was telling the people at home... this is my podcast, okay? but, like, the minute we got on, they were just trying to sell us, like, drink packages, yeah. And then they were trying to get us to buy jewelry.
Oh.
And
did you buy any jewelry?
He bought the most expensive thing on the boat, which was internet.
Oh,
I can't believe you.
Yes.
It was cheaper for me to have endless drinks all three nights than to have internet.
That's not exactly true.
That is actually indeed false, because it was about $100 more for me to
yes.
Okay, so you're right. You got me there. You got me.
But it was very... here's the core...
Let me drop the law.
I do that.
Go ahead.
It's basically just... Kinane, Chris, and Bronger all got the, like, $55. You can have all the alcohol you want. I did the one where you also got coffee and fresh squeezed orange juice.
Wow.
For $10 more, and I felt really stupid, and also it was the most disgusting fresh squeezed orange juice I've ever consumed. Like, it was just a swindle. The whole thing was just a swindle.
Yeah. It's almost like you're trapped at the... What is a place... Well, like in Las Vegas or like in a movie theater, a place where you have no choice.
Right.
And so basically they take all the things you need and take for granted every day.
Yeah.
And then sell them back to you marked up times four.
Like, the politics of water at an airport is just ridiculous to me these days. The whole, you can't have water, give us your water. All right, a small container of water costs $70 now.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't do that. This is not the free market.
Except for, here's the thing that I always think is funny. Like, what 9/11 happened what year? We don't know. But since that time, still to this day, people show up at the security area at the airport. They're told to throw their water away, and they fucking freak out. Those people, it's like the year, like a couple years after, where you couldn't bring wrapped gifts onto the plane because security had to look at them. I watched a woman have like a full temper tantrum because she had to unwrap these gifts. And it's like, lady, there have been commercials on television like every 30 minutes for 3 months about how you can't have a wrapped gift. Like, work with it.
Exactly.
Avoid this pain. I'm sorry I got serious, but this is
important.
It's the
price we pay for freedom, okay?
Yeah. I love my freedom.
It's true. I think a lot of times it's because people don't fly a lot, but it took me a long time. I had to get so many expensive $16 hair gels. And when they keep taking those from you, it's like, but that was $16.
Oh, yeah.
That's my pomade.
It's
hard to believe that I'm just going to not.
Just
but it's
wait
always
it out.
Weird, the stuff that you manage to accidentally just get through because, like, you took your bag on a car trip. Like, I take my bag on a road trip, and I put liquid in there, and then I accidentally bring that along to the airport, and I'm like, oh, no, they're going to throw away my cologne, and then they don't. But when we were coming back from the Bahamas, I bought a bottle of some sort of weird rum-based liqueur, and I completely forgot about it and did not put it in my checked bag, and then I had to throw it away. It was very emotionally difficult for me.
Yeah. God damn it. I'm duty-free. My... Lord, I don't know what that means.
Also,
duty free.
I enjoy how long these microphones are. Do you guys ever host a game show in here?
Yeah, these are straight up Gene Rayburn style.
I went to a party at Drew Carey's house the other night, and he I'm not name dropping. It was
Clang. That was a name drop. No, go ahead.
That doesn't matter. All the stories.
No, don't do it.
It's okay. He was just, he has a long microphone. The end. Big house. Friendly person.
Wait a second. He has a long microphone at the party?
No, he just, I didn't remember that that's what he does now, is host a game show.
Yes.
With the signature long microphone, so that's why he's a millionaire person.
Microphone with the little rounded top, that Bob Barker one.
What is more memorable to me is that he's just on Drew Carey's show and does stand-up, and my friend opens for him, so he had a birthday party there. And it was It was not what I wish I didn't start talking about.
How weird is it?
Oh, no.
But how weird is it that you go from being the comedian who tells stories about strippers to hosting The Price is Right?
Yeah, who then still dates strippers.
Well, look, can we talk about a part in the middle called The Drew Carey Show, which put him, firmly planted him in the hearts of all America?
My parents loved it so much.
Yeah.
Can I tell you guys a secret that I will then regret having said?
Yes.
I was on the first two episodes.
You played a girlfriend in the first season,
I remember
right?
that.
That's right.
I remember that.
Unfortunately, simultaneously, I was on diet pills, so which was essentially like beyond
well,
some
high-grade coke. Well, was your experience what, that he was a very nice person?
He was so beyond lovely. He was so beyond lovely, but I, in the second episode,
I was
got written out of a bunch of stuff, so I didn't show up for rehearsal.
No.
So they just wrote me out. Yeah, no, I was out of my mind. Like, and he was still, the next time I saw him, was at like, what do you call it? You know, shit, I'm not going to remember. What's the name of the Whoopi Goldberg, Robin Williams, Billy Crystal?
Oh, at Comic Relief.
I saw him at Comic Relief, and he literally came over to me and said, I'm so sorry it didn't work out. You're so great. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like,
he was
a two-line character.
He once, I think everyone there was taking something called Molly, which I avoided taking, but until the very end when it was handed to me. Anyway, we were all rolling, I guess they say, and he said, well, we all have to go to this screening room and watch this this James Brown early concert. It was like a old guy. He was very young, James Brown.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I've never seen him young. And then the Rolling Stones had to follow him, and then the Beach Boys, but it was the best performance I'd ever... We were laughing. It was so amazing.
Wow.
Like, everyone was laughing. It's like, this is comedic, the way he was just performing his ass off. And he was just walking around making sure that people were paying attention to it. And Terry Garr was in it for some reason, like, dancing back up.
Wow.
Like, what? He's like, that's Terry Garr. That's Tony Basil. They were friends. She was dance choreographer. That's Terry Garr.
Yeah.
Look at that. That's Glenn Miller. Ah! And he's, like, dancing around. And I'm like, look how excited he is about this whole video. It just really made me like him.
Celebrities in their natural habitat. It's fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
But you know what? It is nice that he is not jaded. He's not cooler than thou. He's not... How many people that you go, why in the world would you be a douchebag? You should be the nicest person ever.
I can't. So many words and names of people we know that are friends of mine are in my mouth right now that I can't. It would just be me mumbling the alphabet. There's so many people that I can't believe are unbelievable pricks. That,
yeah.
But isn't it like drugs? Don't you think those people just have like their pleasure centers blown out by the fact that like they've had all the pleasure?
Yeah, they believe all of it. I don't think there's been a lot of downside for most of the people we are probably thinking of.
Yeah.
And it's, it comes back around. The hardest thing is, like, you're very jealous of people. In having done this for a long time, not to be like that about it, but.
No, yeah.
You see a full cycle, and then you get this kind of, oh, like you, that jealousy subsides a little bit when you see full cycles of like, oh, they have everything, then they stop having it, then they still want it. That's the worst.
Yeah, that's when you can call me.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen it. It's rough. It's really rough. And comics don't handle either the up or the down very well, because I think we're so ego-based and so needy.
Yeah.
The end. Goodbye.
That's why I think it can only happen in a gradual way, and then you come out of it being normal.
Yeah.
Well, there's something nice about being in LA.
I'm doing a very gradual climb to fame.
You do that. Do it that way.
Sorry, guy. Go ahead.
Oh, just like in LA, you're at least like exposed to stuff enough that like when something good happens to you, at least you probably have like been in a writer's room or had a friend be successful. And you, like, understand it a little bit better.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a mindfuck. It's interesting, the people who have been doing this about as long as me, like, some of them have started to, like, get shows, have them go 2 years, and then have them go away, and then it's the interesting thing of, oh, God, now they have to figure out what their second act is. That's really interesting.
Right,
that's right.
That would be, the Jezelniks and the like Pete Holmes.
Oh, I didn't say anyone by name.
I do. I'll fucking drop a name. I drop names in a braggy way and also in a way that makes everyone uncomfortable. Oh, but
you know what's
funny? You're just name dropping.
Having kind of done it on a very smaller scale myself, the second act can actually be great. Was that my time?
How much does she bring up? How much does she bring up the Emmys on the podcast, Chris? Just yeah. like how
never,
frequently?
Never. Karen rarely gets in a word edgewise. I'm always complaining about my uncomfortable shoes or mother. You did that Emmy. Is it Grammys or Emmys? Whatever. Anyway, these shoes I got. They're from Ross, but they're of a high brand. And
when we were on the boat, couldn't stop talking about Ross Dress for Less.
I still can't.
You?
I know.
Why?
Because that's where I found a lot of exciting deals.
For your summer clothes?
Every guy's like, those are some cute shorts. And I'm like, yeah, guess where I got them? Ross Dress for Less.
And then you'd be like, $8.99.
Yeah, and then I'd do a mannequin pose.
Would you say you're a fashion...
And show him the receipt.
A Maxinista?
I'd say I'm a fashion... I'd say I'm a communist.
Oh. Well, then, this podcast is over.
The Maxinistas, they're the ones who seize control of Cuba, right?
Yeah, that's
right.
They've got all the warheads. Maxinistas, careful. Careful.
Have you heard... Maybe it was in a... My roommate said there's two... I don't know why they would keep smallpox in a giant oil tanker, but there's two oil tanker-sized things of smallpox. Does this already sound like something I'm making up?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway...
Is your friend named Alex Jones?
Yes. Looks a little like Bill Hicks, and you can see him on public access in Texas. We could get wiped out by something floating around there at any moment. End.
Two tankers, are they heading toward each other?
I think they have just been disappeared and are unaccounted for ever since the 60s or something.
Oh, okay.
Oh, there goes my mic and,
So, are you saying I should immunize my children or not?
I'm saying don't have them, and if you listen to... Jenny McCarthy at all, you know the answer to the other question. Okay, here we go. I am so lot of a... Go ahead and leave it open.
It's 8:15, and there's still so many people there.
I just wanted to let you know you're still going to... Who is this kid that he has a line twice around the block? Jonathan what?
John Early. He's a sensation. He's a sensation, you guys.
Well, I want to watch him.
He opens up with a video he made when he was 12 of him being Celine Dion doing It's All Coming Back to Me Now. And it's a revelation.
That's amazing.
Wow. I wish I'd grown up with a video camera.
I'm so glad I didn't. It would be devastating.
Yeah, there's something so beautiful about, all of that. Nobody can look at that. Like, the records of me being terrible and embarrassing and in the closet are all pretty much just text.
That's right. It's all diaries that you probably burned.
I did not keep diaries. I was never that responsible.
I would start them and it would always be, my diary would always be like, school starts next week. This year I'm going to be nice, I'm going to act shy, and I'm going to lose weight. Every single time it was the exact same.
Why would you plan on acting shy?
Because that seemed to me to be what popular girls did and the better plan. And mentally, in movies, that's what you saw of, it was always the girl standing pigeon-toed looking at down at the ground that was like, look at her, she's so hot. So I was like, yeah, I gotta shut this mouth soon. And I could not do it. I just couldn't. I wanted to so bad.
Gotta shut this mouth soon.
When will I?
Well, no, I remember feeling that way of, Guy... If you didn't just immediately tell people how you feel about things, eventually someone might wonder how you felt.
Oh, that's funny. I love it.
No one ever asks me how I feel. Yeah. We know how you feel.
Yeah. You don't give us time to wonder.
But the thing is...
That's so great.
You totally have time...
Okay.
Sure.
So we aren't going to that show then.
No, clearly not. It feels terrible.
There's still a line though.
God bless you, John Early. He won't miss us. That place is packed.
Exactly.
I think those people aren't getting in.
He's busy being a sensation.
It's 20 after 8. That show was supposed to start.
I need someone to explain, is it YouTube that does it? How do you get to be a sensation?
No, that's the thing is that
seriously, how do they know who he is?
I don't think he has a shitload of hits on YouTube. I think it is just sort of like people telling friends or people he went to NYU with. But
for God's sake.
But like, the last time he came to LA, I was at a gay party at Eric Gilliland's house, though he was not there. But because Karen has previously told me stories that centered on being at Eric's house, so I wanted to make clear that it was a space that she's familiar with.
I've been all over that porch.
And they were like, oh, are you going? Are you going? And they were just all abuzz about whether people were going to John's show. And I was just like, what's wrong with you, guy? And then I listed in my head what was wrong with me.
Right. It's always good to keep a running list.
It is.
And really hold it out in front of you everywhere you go.
But this is one of those situations. This is one of those acting shy situations where all I'm thinking about in my head is, wouldn't you seem gracious, guy, if you just hadn't said any of these things?
I know.
If you had just said a solid 5 minutes of John is so talented.
But we did that.
And it's true. But now it sounds like protesting, where if I had just done it otherwise.
Listen, in this internet age, I
brought the protesting to the, because I don't know who he is, and that guy, whoever that is wildly popular. And if it's word of mouth that brings it, then I should just stop doing this, because I don't have people like that coming to my comedy concerts.
But guys, everybody.
But, and also, I'm being this whiny like a week after so many people showed up to my album recording.
Yes, exactly. That was amazing. And can I just remind quickly, sorry, sidebar, remind you my favorite joke, which is where you said, because I did your show, Megan Keister did the show, and then you were the headliner, and you said, this night is about me and women with too much personality. And I laughed, but I really, what I wanted to do was really sob, because that is my problem. It always has been. And the idea that now it's being turned around and it's the advantage that I have.
Yeah.
What a magical Hollywood movie that turned out to be.
Well, there is also that weird thing of, I was having a conversation with a friend who is not a comedian, and him just, I forget what we were talking about, but
I
just
wish,
like,
I had friends like that.
When
someday.
When you professionally monetize having too much personality.
Yeah.
You kind of can't go back to a normal interaction with people.
No, you can't. It's really not good. Well, also, there's nothing worse than when you have that, when you're kind of like, can't turn off the show, but you're like, supposed to be helping with Thanksgiving dinner with your aunts.
Right.
Well, my aunts don't count because they love it and they want me to do it all the time. But like, there are those times where I can hear myself and I am like, in my head, I'm like, just be quiet, or just don't riff. Like, just talk like normal people, where you go, oh, me too. I read an article, or whatever the fuck people do.
Right,
and
right.
Don't make seven jokes after everything. Like, can you do that? And the answer is no for me.
I was way worse before I became a comedian. Now that I have an outlet, I can totally talk about what article had the right recipe in it. I can be boring as the Dickens every Christmas. I can be.
You just really tone it down?
Yeah, especially around. But, man, I miss how silly and funny I used to be walking around, like, filled with energy.
Yeah.
No, I had, like, constant need to prove that there's a reason that guys should be allowed to be around. And I feel like it was only after doing stand-up for a couple of years that I was, like, able to just be quiet.
Right.
And then I was like, oh my God, have you gotten boring?
No, I think it's you becoming healthy.
Because what it is you realize you're already allowed to be around. There's no qualifiers.
Right.
You are allowed to be around. End of story, the end, right now.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing.
Honestly, there came a point in time, after having been on Chelsea Lately for a couple of years, when gay guys were being really nice to me because I was on Chelsea Lately, that I was like, guy, your capacity to tap dance and do something in between mesmerism and pickup artisting at gay guys, if you lose that and then you're no longer on television, what will you have? And then I was like, no, you have to continue to be able to be aggressive and horrible at gay guys.
That's true. I think the rules are different.
If all that fails, you'll still have tap dancing.
And gays love that. I mean, if nothing else,
who doesn't love tap dancing? I even love it when it's being mocked.
Clickety click 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 click.
Even
click,
this, click, even you click, mouth click. Tap dancing,
clickety,
I like.
Click 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 clickety, click 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 click. Wait, did I tell you guys? I'm sure I've told you this, but one of my favorite moments of my life so far has been the opening of Beach Blanket Babylon in San Francisco. I went with my family. It was like the one of the last Christmases my family was still like regular before my mom got sick. We went to Beach Blanket Babylon. The show starts, the lights go out, a spotlight goes up on the stage, Mr. Peanut comes out, tap dancing, and I laughed so loud that my mom took my drink away. It was hilarious. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. They got Joel Gray looking motherfucker with insanely long skinny legs, and then a plastic Mr. Peanut costume. So look just like all stick limbs tap dancing. It was the best. Oh, no one will terrific. Ever relate to that with me, but I'm fine with it alone.
Well, people know who Mr. Peanut is.
I know, but do I they love him?
I mention him in my act. I do. And it always gets a warm response. It's like the guy's still got it.
Chris, do your peanut chunk for us.
Oh, I can't. Hey. I can't. It involves a lot of facial expressions, and I honestly, it's a lot like what you're talking about making food with on Thanksgiving. I don't have the energy.
I simply don't care. When I lived in Chicago a couple years ago, I literally knew 4 or 5 people in the whole town. And I made my new friend, who is my friend Laura Kraft, who you work with.
Yes.
Laura Kraft had this great friend named Kristen Carter, I believe. Kristen, hi. There's no way you're listening to this. She's the greatest. She was the coolest girl.
It'd be so funny if every time we mentioned someone, we said, oh, by the way, hi. assuming they were listening.
Hi. Hi, I know you're having a great time. But she is the coolest. She owns a company called Busy Beaver Button Company. She makes buttons for like bands and for things. She's just the best. And we had a great time. She would be like, let's go to this, you know, let's go to this talk, let's go to this thing or whatever. So she invited me one night to her friend's poker game. And I sat there, and it was like a total conscious decision. I was the shy girl at the poker game.
Oh, really?
So even though there were all these, amazing gems that I could have riffed out, I just did not do it. I just sat there very quietly. I would only talk to people like in normal exchanges of seriousness. I maybe made 2 jokes the whole time, but maybe probably not, because I just wanted to feel that feeling of like, this is what shy people feel like.
Can we not all agree that it feels good to be, when you're the one, like you just said, a group of people that all know each other and suddenly you're the shy person. I like that feeling.
Well, it's just a nice change of pace.
Yeah.
I do that with some frequency, but I feel like it is almost bitchy from me. Like, not bitchy, but it is just like, sometimes I will just be like, nah, I'm not trying in this situation.
Right. Yeah.
You guys have your little game.
Fuck, you're right. That's what I'm doing too, I think.
When I worked on Punk'd.
When I'm being shy, I'm just being quiet because I fucking hate everybody.
Yes.
Yeah. God damn it.
I know, but
such a thin line between shy and hate.
Shy and hate. Thin
Sorry.
Line. Go ahead.
Oh, what?
Is it still me?
You worked on something.
Oh, Punk'd. It was basically like, they were very nice boys, but collectively they were douchebags who were just talking about the people who they had banged. And I really felt like they had already explained to me that I was the female writer on the show, which was deeply insulting to female writers. But I was just like, I'm here to be the typist. I'm fine with that. Like,
when was this? Who were these jerks?
This was 2011 to 12. And they were fine people who I really enjoy and love.
Okay.
That's so not true, I can tell.
But collectively, there was one guy who was really a lot. And the rest of them were...
And his name was Ashton Kutcher. Am I right?
Hey, Ashton, if you're listening.
He was
hey.
Really around.
He's walking in. I fucked a girl. Congratulations.
I got in an argument with Laura about whether Ashton Kutcher is stupid or not.
Laura who? Laura Kraft,
yes.
Because you say no and she said yes?
No, I was firmly team stupid. And she was like, I can't believe that. He's done too much with himself and his businesses are all very successful and... He is, like, his production company used to be really, really vital and active, but he's also very stupid.
Oh, is he?
Yeah,
I wouldn't accuse him of being smart.
I only have stories all of my celebrity stories, the end is how stupid they are. I only have stories. Eva Mendez,
no.
Zac Efron.
What? No!
Of course they're... Oh, you're kidding.
I'm just...
those are the two dumbest people I've heard of all day.
Although I have to say, Eva Mendez, when she and Bradley Cooper were together, the two of them... were at the same ArcLight showing of a movie as me, and they came in, and the person sold them tickets directly next to me and my friend who were there to see the movie. So it was like an empty theater, except for we were all four sitting next to each other. And so then at one, they sat down, and it was super weird because at first I didn't know they were celebrities, so I was like, move, weirdo. He's like, don't sit next to us. And then I looked over and it was Bradley Cooper, and he got this look on his face, and he like got up and they picked a different seat.
Because you looked at him?
No, just it was uncomfortable, but the way he did look at me, I almost said out loud, I was here first. Like, fuck you.
And but it was... And I'm talking about Hollywood.
You might remember the Drew Carey show back in 1974.
Back when you were asking questions in James Lipton's class. He really was.
Really?
Yeah, there's Sean Penn was on James Lipton, and he asked a really
Did he say, I'm Brad, like, I'm on the actor's track?
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I love your work. I've been studying really hard. My question is, like, he's got like long hair and a ponytail.
No, but I love seeing famous people when they were real, because you're like,
yeah,
oh, they were real once. They were only kind of attractive before we all collectively decided to make them the most attractive.
Yeah.
The one that really blows me away, not that we should go down this spiraling train.
What celebrities we like?
No, what's his name? Retner?
Jeremy Renner.
Jeremy Renner, thank you. Who's Retner? I think he...
Brett Ratner?
Yeah, Brett Ratner. Jeremy Renner. He was on some MTV reality show called Making It. Or something. I think it was called Megan. There was like a country singer and a ballerina, and then him moved to LA. Let's see who does well. And he was like auditioning for commercials and stuff. That's his first IMDb credit. And then at one point in it, he starts crying because he has to choose between a commercial and some indie film. And then the next thing you know, he's Bjorn Identity, whatever.
That's where he runs around with that baby strapped to the front of him?
Yeah, totally.
His face looks like meat.
Yeah, it really does. It looks like thinly sliced beef.
I kind of like to see somebody like Jeremy Renner do well because he is not classically beautiful.
Right.
Like, when I watch Bradley Cooper, after a while I'm like, ooh, like I don't want to look at that too much. His eyes are too intense, or like it's like the eyes of a person who knows he's good looking and wants to shoot it at you like a laser.
Yeah.
Or it's like, get off me. But as opposed to a Jeremy Renner who looks like someone who might drive the tow truck that picks up your car in
then you bet, up
in Bakersfield.
That's a handsome tow truck
driver. And then you go, oh my god, that tow truck driver was hot.
Okay. I want to make two points.
Okay.
One is that I really like people do become, I like that people do become super, super famous off of reality shows, but not that much. Like, it's like a thing where, like, when you get on a reality show, you know, I could be Jennifer Hudson. Probably not.
No,
but
probably
like,
not.
It may happen. The other thing is, girls are so likely to like that guy who seems, like, acceptable and realistic and nice, but, like, gay guys, like, because they're all probably straight, you're like, well, I'll just like the best one. But then that also leads to gay guys, like, polishing themselves until they don't have corners anymore.
Yeah, that's right. They're all starting to look like Ken dolls
yes.
in the weirdest way. Like, permanent blue eyeliner and shit.
Yeah, it's terrifying. It's also super hot.
I kind of, that same thing happened with Jennifer Aniston. Because she was technically not the prettiest girl on Friends.
Yeah.
But she would, and everyone would be like, she's so hot. But it's like, no, she's the one you think you can get.
Yeah.
I had pictures of her on my wall.
Oh, so I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Right to you.
Yeah. I do not have those pictures anymore.
Good, good, good. Did you have that feeling, though, that she seemed accessible to
yes.
you?
Yes. Yeah, I think you're exactly right.
Yeah.
That Kudrow was untouchable.
Fucking hippies. She was spiritually and physically untouchable.
Yeah, that's so funny to remember that. I don't... I was snowboarding and I was living in Oregon and I just was sharing a room with a friend who, God, his feet smelled. And my mattress was on the floor and I had one picture from a magazine of Jennifer Aniston on the wall. Like, wow. if you walked in like there, there'd be like, oh, who's the murderer who's obsessed about Jennifer
Aniston?
So
why did you have her on your wall? It's not like you weren't masturbating to that, were you?
No, I
just like the look of it?
I just dressing up the place. Yeah, I
just... How old were you?
Oh, fuck. 22.
So you were, 21. And you were just snowboarding with your life.
That's all I was doing.
That's crazy.
Going every day and building jumps and flipping around and thinking about Jennifer Aniston.
It's very fun to watch Chris Fairbanks jump on or over things. He really likes jumping on or over things.
Yeah.
When was I doing that?
It's really exciting.
I was drunk on the boat. Oh, you're right.
Drunk on the boat.
You're right. I was trying to climb up on that thing.
Well, oh, you even, told me about the trampoline. It's so funny.
Yeah, yeah. The trampoline. At Drew Carey's house. Did I mention, guy?
You only really brought up the long microphone. You didn't say anything about trampolines.
There's a trampoline there. Let's just say I gave quite the performance.
Oh, I thought you told me that trampoline story, but I mixed it up. I thought that happened on the boat.
Also on the boat late at night. Did you see that there was trampolines on the boat?
Where were the trampolines?
It was at the front of the boat. The hull, the starboard, the
mast.
No.
The mast.
Wait, no.
At the top of the crow's nest,
yep.
There was a trampoline. It was terrifying.
The front of the boat is the fore.
The fore of the boat,
not
yeah.
The aft?
They had the all... Like, walking around at first, I saw they had, like, harnesses, and you could do flips, and there's two spotter guys, but at 1 in the morning, there was no one there, and I know there's cameras, but I jumped up and down on that trampoline, and it was really fun.
Karen,
yes.
Have you ever been on a cruise ship?
Not only have I been on a cruise ship, my parents met on a cruise ship.
No.
You're kidding.
I swear to God, my dad was a purser, and my mom was a nurse.
What's a purser?
No.
Purser's like what Gopher did on the Love Boat. Like, they get your bags, and they're basically kind of like a bellhop.
Oh, that's great.
But more. I bet my dad'd be real mad if I said pursers were bellhops. But, yeah, they both worked on these ships, and they would go on... cruises. It's actually pretty funny. When they left San Francisco, it was like 1967. And when they came back, it was like they were in the middle of like crazy hippie flower power era.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were both so disgusted. They were just like, this, what's happened to our city? Because they were both natives.
Oh, that's
but
funny.
They met, my mom was already engaged.
How long were they on that boat if the hippie movement
happened? For like 6 months or something.
Oh, wow.
Or more than that, actually. Because they did multiple cruises.
Yeah. Several tours of duty.
Several tours of duty. but my mom was engaged, and my dad was like, nah, you're not going to marry that guy.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Now, wow. Here's something unbeautiful that I think is hilarious. My mom had humongous boobs, and she said she went into the purser's lounge one day, and they had her picture up on the wall, but they had cut her head off. It was just her tits.
Oh, my God.
No.
So she said she didn't talk to my dad for a long time because she saw that on the wall.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And this is what men are like.
Where'd the photo come from? And then it got blown up?
No, blown up.
I assume it was a life-size photo. Oh, okay. Okay.
It just sounded like, you know, they take, like, headshots of the crew so that if you were a passenger, it's like...
Sure.
There's the woman that stole my thing or whatever. She helped me.
Jugs O'Houlihan.
Jugs O'Houlihan straight up.
Recognize those tits anywhere. She took my briefcase. Oh, that's terrific.
Cruising is in my blood. Cruise shipping is what I do.
But the thing is that those base instincts created you.
I know.
And so that's beautiful.
It is pretty beautiful.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
It really is a love boat.
Love.
Boat. Oh, I got you. Exciting and new. Hey,
boat.
I got your back now. Come aboard. Come on, join back in. We're expecting Jews.
The love boat.
Right? Guy?
Yes.
I like
that show had a laugh track. Let's never forget that show was an hour long and it had a laugh
You're
track.
Kidding me.
You know what'd be cool if someone recut it and put the laughs over the romantic scenes? I have so many. I wish I was an editor. I have so many good editing ideas.
Yeah. I love editing YouTube jokey things.
Are you being sincere?
Yeah, I do. I really do. Like where you know, that's a band playing live and they fuck up the music and.
Yep.
And then it sounds like they suck, but they're like, in their faces, they're amazing.
Now,
they're Motley Crue or whatever.
Do you like that more or less than Ross, Dress for Less?
Hey.
If you had to pick one, desert island.
Ross. I would have them build a Ross on the island.
Guy?
I'm not going to get YouTube connections.
What would you pick of... You're on a desert island.
Yes.
And you could pick...
Uh-huh.
One of the following.
Okay.
And it can only be one.
All right.
There can only be one.
Okay.
Doing a show where there's people out in line for 45 minutes beforehand.
Like the one we drove by, like a little kid on a bike past the girl's house he likes.
Yes.
Okay.
And you yelled at those people, by the way.
I was smiling.
It was hilarious. Smiling. They just were staring. You can either have that.
Uh-huh.
Or...
Swords of fresh water.
or you have life.
Yeah. No, what's the other option?
I was going to say something along the lines of the guy from that show. What's that show? That really good-looking gay guy that's, like, beyond good-looking that was also in Magic Mike, but he's on, like, a USA show.
Oh, yes.
Matthew Bomer. Bomer.
Yes.
Do you want a show with people waiting outside for 45 minutes or Matthew Bomer's undying love?
Oh,
Bomer's boner.
Here's the thing, Bomer. Is that Matthew Bomer's undying love, like, after I had jizzed on him 4 or 5 times, I would be like, all right, okay. Then we would have to, like, make chit-chat, and he would talk about his adopted children he doesn't see anymore. Because we live on a desert island.
How much jizz is it going to take you to shut your mouth? Is there... What about... Here's the thing. Let's go back a little, because that line was around the block. I think that he's not on a deserted island. It's actually inhabited.
So well-populated.
Oh, that's true.
Would you rather live in a nice tropical location filled with young hipsters or come on one famous guy's face a little?
Basically, do you want to go to Hawaii? That's the only question. Do you ever want to go to Hawaii?
It seems lovely. And, you know, we've successfully done colonialism. Why not just revel in it?
It is so weird how that is the undercurrent in Hawaii. The locals fucking hate you.
Yeah.
They hate you.
And socks. They hate socks.
They do hate socks. Yeah. They love sandals.
I wore socks and they're like, what the fuck are you wearing, Kukali?
Yeah.
It was being in the Bahamas was really interesting because there's everything is just huddled around the place where the American money spills out from the boats. And it was the grossest and weirdest. It was basically just places to buy expensive watches and shoes.
That was I've been on 3 cruises now. Don't ask me why, but I mentioned that during, did you watch my act where I was like, tomorrow we're going to park on some coral reef,
yes,
and the captain's going to point at some people, and they're going to act native and dance in grass skirts, and we're going to leave our boat chugging on, and then they're going to sell us necklaces, and it's going to be depressing, and that's what it was. And I'd never been to the Bahamas.
You just knew.
I knew it. I had the instinct and the insight and the experience. Sorry. But it was. It was depressing.
But I had deep fried conch, and that was exciting.
Wait, is that...
It's
thing the out of the shell?
Yes.
The thing that looks like a crazy tongue?
Yes.
You ate it?
Yes.
And what did it taste like? Eel?
Fried. It tasted like fried.
It tastes like fried.
What's I'm thinking of a giant thing that would inhabit that large shell, fried, like a giant softball size.
No, it was cut up into little pieces.
Okay.
Good. Good.
Did you have to eat a lot of fish on that trip, you guys?
The food on the boat was so terrible. Like, it was so sad. The whole point of...
It was terrible,
Chris Fairbanks was like, you're going to get on that boat, and there's just going to be lobster everywhere, and it's going to be best.
When I did it before, there was lobster.
Because you
everywhere.
Went on a better cruise line.
I guess.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I guess. Norwegian, I don't know.
Norwegian is high-end.
It was the time... I think now it's out of market or whatever, and you had to pay extra for the lobster. But maybe, you know, I didn't grow up with a family that was good at cooking. Maybe I just think, because I kind of like the dinners.
Okay, so here were your food options were. There's a buffet that was gross.
Okay.
There was a thing that was called a ham pasta.
Ham pasta?
Ham pasta. So something you would make at 3 in the morning for yourself because you were super stoned.
Leftover shit? It was like heat up leftover
stuff. It was like they were throwing shit together that they had laying around, yeah.
And eggs that didn't make sense. Like scrambled eggs. We've all had dorm scrambled eggs. These were so many steps further down from dorm scrambled eggs.
And were they powdered scrambled eggs, you
think?
Yes.
It was disgusting.
Right. Senseless eggs.
And then if you went to dinner at 5:45 when you were supposed to, they would make a big show out of serving you a fancy meal. And then it was a weird... it was like children putting on a play of what a good restaurant is.
You're right.
You had your little... Because you were the one who got the salad that was, you know, the, like, mozzarella and tomatoes and pesto.
Like crazy?
Yes. Except that the tomatoes were, like, a chalky white.
Oh, ye.
And it was that sort of thing.
And they called them
heirloom. Yeah.
Yes.
Is that Bradley Cooper?
I'm like... Oh, there he is. Oh, my God, it's so funny.
I knew I'd see you again.
He is handsome. I would not expect him to drive a Volkswagen wagon.
I'm sorry. I rolled down my window to look. The people saw us talking, and they stared at us.
Oh, it's funny.
You've earned some real ire from those homeless people.
You know what's funny? When we were turning out of that gas station, I saw Mike Sweeney, who's the head writer of Conan. You know Mike Sweeney, right?
Yeah, yeah. He was there.
And he was totally watching us and laughing because we were sitting here with microphones.
Oh, why didn't you run over and professionally network?
I wish I could have. With the microphone in my hand.
That's so great. He was laughing. He was laughing at us. So, like,
yeah, I'm
thank
sure.
God I got the gig I do.
He probably recognized you, though. I forgot. Your wonderful setup.
Let me just say, writers, like, fancy writers with good jobs who aren't stand-up comedians... have shittier podcasts than this that they put a lot of time into.
Yeah.
And they're all weirdly jealous of the fact that we get attention.
I bet you're right.
Probably, right?
In my experience with having writing jobs, I was very, very anxious to go be doing stand-up again. And then, of course, when you're doing stand-up, you wish that you were making money writing. I cannot end this sentence fast enough.
What about ending this podcast?
I'm very hungry.
No, let's talk about this hot guy.
No.
Do you see that hot guy?
The guy with the earphones?
Yes. He's Latino and muscly.
He's 5'4". He's trying
hard. No, he's not. He's like 6 feet tall.
He's trying so hard.
No one listening to this podcast cares.
Let's end it.
He does look good. Okay. Okay. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for having me.
Do You Need a Ride? Please listen to us on iTunes and give a positive review.
Oh, and thank you. We have like 45 positive reviews.
Oh,
I looked
terrific.
At them the other day and it was lovely. People say really nice things.
Oh, that's great.
Thank you so much if you've written one.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
It's
You've
so
been
fun.
Listening to DYNAR.
AR. Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine? Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.